in Seattle, Seattle. And you need to buy yourself a home. We'll be right there for you, because we're the realtors that you can trust. So go to RodandConsidDow.com.
Don't go anywhere unless you want to. It's the Ron and Don Show, starring Ron and Don, and sometimes me, at ronanddon.com.
Hey, you guys, what's going on? Welcome to episode 710 now of the Ron and Don Show, and we are live back in the Les Schwab Studios.
What is up, Ron and Don Nation?
Hey, coming up on the Ron and Don Show, gotta congratulate a couple of our buyers. In fact, one of our buyers is a real estate attorney who is not from the great state of Washington. And I will give you her perspective on the importance of having a buyer's agent right now. Also, when was the moment you realized that you were kind of old? Yeah, there's a new BuzzFeed out about that. Before we get to that, though, let's get to this. Ron, Les Schwab is doing something really important right now in the month of April, and we want to let everybody know that Les Schwab has now shifted their focus to fighting hunger. This is kind of cool, right?
This is cool, and I think it's kind of innovative. Les Schwab, for years and years and years, probably decades now, has done a food drive cooperating with Food Lifeline in November. And then a few weeks after that, they did their toy drive, where they would make sure that children here in the Pacific Northwest would get a toy. They would do that in December. So it was these back-to-back campaigns, and they got around with their partners, which are QFC and Cairo 7 Cares, and they said, hey, would there be a better way to do this? And I do like to point out that Les Schwab's motto is they've been doing the right thing since 1952. And so they decided, why don't we move this? Because food scarcity and food scarcity issues don't just come up once a year. They happen all year round. So what if we moved the food drive earlier in the year? And so that's what they decided to do. And they've come to us in the Ron and Don Nation and said, hey, can you get the word out here that for the month of April, we would like to have the food drive now. We're going to partner again with Food Lifeline, partner again with Cairo 7, partner with QFC, and just do it because it's the right thing to do. I think a lot of people had tied this event to Thanksgiving and a feeling of feeling grateful and thankful for the bounty of the year. And so now we're shifting it to April and just saying, hey, this is a time of year where I think one of the ways that I look at this is there's probably a lot of people that in the food scarcity world, they rely on schools to help them feed their kid once a day, maybe even twice a day. And so as we're approaching the end of the school year, by the time we get all this food and money into the system, the school year will be winding down, and those families really need help at that time. If their kid is not getting part of the meal assistance program in a lot of the public schools, it now falls on that parent who was already struggling. So I think it's cool. I think it's kind of innovative. And so what they're asking people in the Ron and Don Nation to do is if you're in QFC, you can buy an extra bag of food, drop it off right there. You can also buy a virtual bag of food if you want, or you can get an extra bag, take it to your local Les Schwab center, and be able to donate it right there at Les Schwab. So I think it's a pretty cool innovation, actually.
Yeah, so our thanks to everybody at Cairo 7, Cairo 7 Cares, and QFC, and Food Lifeline, and of course our friend at Les Schwab. 83 locations now to serve you, so make sure you stop by a Les Schwab tire center today. In fact, we may have to go by there this week. My son is turning 14 and he hasn't found his birthday present yet, and it's been really hard not to give it to him. And I noticed, Ron, you walked in with a birthday gift for him, and you've been talking about this birthday gift for quite some time. I don't know if my birthday gift is going to compare to yours, but he's not here. What'd you get him?
Do you really want me to tell you?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm excited about this. I don't know if he'll be excited about this. He has indicated to me, well, going way back, he used to be really into Marvel, the Marvel Universe. I don't know if he's still into the Marvel Universe, but at one point he was very into the Marvel Universe.
I think he still likes the Marvel Universe.
And he could go deep.
He is a little...
He would correct me on, like, different storylines and the Spider-Man multiverse and all these things. Like, he knew everybody.
He's a little apoplectic that Superman is out, and he's a little apoplectic that Iron Man is out. Those are his two favorite characters on and off.
I didn't know
screen.
They were out.
He loves those actors, so he really liked to see those actors come back. And he looks at Robert Downey Jr. He's like, okay, man, you got your Oscar, right? You got your Oscar.
Come on back.
Come on back to the Marvel Universe. We've been actually talking
about
this.
So in addition to that, he told me, or I noticed that he liked Star Wars, specifically Mandalorian. Yeah. Hopefully I have that right.
Yeah.
And so I was on this watch website that I frequent, and I saw an automatic Mandalorian Star Wars watch.
Oh wow!
And so it's not a cheap quartz throw a battery in there watch. This is an automatic movement, meaning there's no batteries.
Cool.
It's got a spring inside that, and you have to wind the watch, and it has a whole. It's a high end watch.
Cool, because you're really into watches.
I'm really into watches.
He's really into watches now.
And so when he gets it, like if he needs some help on how to set the date, how to set the time, and there and like he will need to keep it wound, but not overwind it. And I can show him how the automatic movement works and how it'll wind as he moves his wrist around the world. But it's a Mandalorian watch.
Wow.
And so it, I hope that he likes it. Like they're. They're pretty cool, I think, the way they did the dial and the way they did the case to kind of be Star Wars-esque. And so they had, not all of them were automatics, but like they had some that R2-D2 watches, and they have a Darth Vader watch, and they have a Boba Fett watch that a different company did. But I figured that since he was a Mandalorian guy, that hopefully he likes the Mandalorian automatic watch.
He's going to love that. I gave him my Apple Watch, so he uses that when we go running. And then during the week, he's looking in the mirror a lot. He's tucking in his shirt. He has his favorite belt. Like, he's really dressing up, combing his hair, taking good care of himself. Like, puberty is hit. There's no doubt about it. And I have to say, he'll be thrilled by that. Speaking of his Apple Watch, over the weekend, we went on another trail run. He's done a 5-mile trail run. We did a 3K.
A 5K with you, which is
just over 3 miles. We've done a couple loops out of Discovery Park, which are tough loops. The short loop is three miles. The big loop with all the stairs and running along the beach is 4.53 miles. So this will be the longest distance that he's ever ran before. So we did a 10K. It was a long 10K. So this was just over 6 miles. I think this ended up being about 6.5 miles. And so I told him at the beginning of the race, I said, hey, unlike, the 5K, we'll want to go a little slower here out of the gate. And then you take off, and I want to do some filming, and I'll kind of catch you at the end. And then I said, hey, just, the deal is if we get to 3 miles and you need to walk a little bit. And so we came up with a strategy, but the deal when we did the 5K with you, the week before is no walking. So, he didn't walk in that. He beat me.
I made up for him by walking in that.
Yeah. And he ended up beating me by 90 seconds, but the 90 seconds was a little bit with a wink and a nod. Cause I like to hang back and take pictures of him. And I have to say, like at the end there, if I wanted to win that race, I could have poured it on. And I could have won that race. Right. Here I am coming up with strategies to beat my 13-year-old. And again, a kid who couldn't really walk a quarter of a mile on a treadmill about a year and a month ago. So this particular race, I'm like, hey, I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to hang back. There's some Easter eggs that are hidden along the trail. Peter Cottontail had been out there the night before. This is a Saturday before Easter that we ran. So you can scoop up some of these eggs. So they said, you can grab one. I said, hey, man, you can grab mine, so you can grab two. So he's pretty pumped about that. So knowing that the eggs were out there, as soon as he knew that the eggs were out, he took off like an Easter rabbit. He took off like...
What do you do with them? You run with the eggs?
When yeah, you find put them in your pocket, and then you win prizes and candy and stuff at the
I
end.
See.
So he takes off, and we get to about the 3 mile mark, and I'm fully expecting to come around the corner of a trail to see him walk, and I get to 3, 3.5, I get to 4, 4.5, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I guess he's not walking, and I'm like, well, time to catch him. So I start pouring it on as much as I can pour it on. I'm about to turn 57, as much as I can pour it on these trails. We're out in Woodby Island, by the way, which we got on the first boat out there. There were no cars in the morning. A beautiful drive. It was a beautiful day. It's one of the prettiest trail runs I've ever run. So if
it
you
was
ever
perfect
get,
weather, yeah.
Yeah, if you ever get a chance to go out there with Northwest Trail Runs, it's really great, you guys. They had a 5K, a 10K, and then they had a half. I'm looking at my watch. I got to about to the 5 mile mark, and I'm like, I better put the hammer down, and I better go catch this kid. So I end up finally getting to the finish line, and he's standing there, and he has a whole snack plate, and I'm thinking I'm a couple seconds behind. I was 6.5 minutes
wow.
behind him.
He's flying.
He kicked my ass.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And good for you.
There's
good
a part of me going, I can't believe my son kicked my ass. And at the same time, and I think there's parents out there that will get this, when your child has struggled with something, and then it's something that you share and you do together, and then all of a sudden they've gotten better than you, and I'm seeing it in his guitar playing as well. He practices every night. He's super dedicated to it. To watch him play the guitar and to already becoming a better player than I am. He told me after the run that he wants to do a half marathon now. And I'm like, damn, man, I've done half marathons and full marathons in the woods before. That's a very long race. And you have to wear a vest and carry your water and do all kinds of stuff. I got my ass kicked, but I couldn't have been so proud.
That's awesome.
Of getting my ass kicked.
He might be a natural runner.
By my 13-year-old. So yeah, it was very, very cool. And he's very humble about it. And then overall in the men's race, he came in 13th in the race.
Wow.
Out of all the men that were there racing.
I'm sure he's number one in his age category.
Yeah, had to be. So anyway, it was very cool. Our thanks to Northwest Trail Runs. And now I guess you and I better go training because we got a half marathon in the woods.
I did do a 5K on the treadmill this morning.
Yeah, there you go. Good for you.
Shaved 5 minutes off my time.
Well, I did buy him a pretty cool mountain bike, and he was kind of hammering me when we were over in Maui. We went on our first dive trip over the holidays. So I got him a bike. It's out in the garage. He hasn't seen it yet. And I'm afraid the same damn thing's going to happen there. We're going to go on a couple rides, and then next thing you know, he's going to be leaving me in the dust.
That's all you can hope for as a dad.
Yeah, we'll see you on the other side. It's Don here with my good friend Andy from Les Schwab. He's an Eastsider. We're not going to hold that against him. Andy, you guys are doing something cool. It's Food Awareness Month, the month of April. We're going to drive out hunger. We're working with Cairo 7, QFC, and Food Lifeline. You want people to head over to QFC, buy some food, and drop it off where?
We're taking those donations at all of our 83 Western Washington Les Schwab locations. You can do a monetary donation at QFC. But the biggest thing is we're collecting this food so that we can distribute it within our communities to help out the families in need in our areas.
Yeah. So don't forget, Cairo 7 Cares, our good friends at Food Lifeline, Les Schwab, and the Rhonodon Nation, we're all working together. You can donate your non-perishable food item at any of the 83 Western Washington Les Schwab Tire Centers. All food collected will be delivered to Food Lifeline to feed local families right here in our area. So join us, you guys. This is brought to you by Les Schwab Tire Centers, Cairo 7 Cares, and QFC. Les Schwab Tire Centers. Doing what, Andy? The right thing since when?
1952.
You nailed it. All right, so this is how real estate works. I'm at a Seahawks game, and I'm watching the Seahawks win the Super Bowl, and I'm in my friend George's seat, and I'm sitting next to my friend Mike Martin. Known Mike now over a decade. He calls me the other day. He says, hey, I got a tech friend. He's in Hawaii, owned a property in Green Lake. He's going to fix it up. He went to Hawaii, said, I'm never going home. So he's had this rental now for 10 years. His name is Jude. So Mike puts me in touch with Jude. Jude calls me and says, hey, I got to sell this house. I call Scotty. We go over the house, and this house has a foundation problem, has a roof problem, has lots of problems. And in order to fix this house and bring it to market, it's going to take about $100,000, and then the house is going to be worth about $925,000. Anyway, there's a builder that Jude knows that says, hey, well, I'll give you $835,000. And then there's a neighbor that says, hey, I'll give you $850,000. And then what I did is I got on the phone with one of my builder friends, because again, I don't like seeing homes torn down, but there's some that have to be torn down when they have bad foundations, right? And this is a home that has to come down. This builder said, you know what? I'll pay $1,060,000 for that particular house. So case closed. There are builders right now paying more for properties than people are willing to pay when they step in and say, wow, this thing has a bad foundation. This thing is still in oil. This has a bad roof. There's a lot of work to do here. So while many homes I like to see restored, some can't be, right? So when you need us, if you have a piece of property, if you have an old home that has a bad leaky roof, lots of deferred maintenance, call us. Because sometimes the best thing to do is to fix it up and bring it to market if you have the funds to do so. And sometimes the best thing to do is to create a new property and reimagine it. Because guess what? Here in Seattle, yeah, there's not a lot of property just laying around. So when you need us, whether it's wholesale, retail, investing, buying, selling, let's sit down. RonandDonSitDown.com. All right, you guys, welcome back to the Ron and Don Show. Our topic this segment kind of has a lot to do with the topic last segment. It's a BuzzFeed topic where they throw out a topic, people just comment. It's one of my favorite things. And this topic is when you finally remembered or understood, maybe for the first time, like really understood that you're getting old. this is good. One woman writes, her name's Pam. She said, when my little cousin asked me if she could play some classic rock while we were in the car, and then she proceeded to turn on Blink 182.
That's funny. That record is probably 25 years old.
Another woman writes, her name's Mary. She said, you know, I was coming home for the holidays and I'm like, yeah, I got to go hang out with my old friends. And then I was hanging out with my old friends, realizing, why am I hanging out with my old friends? I have nothing in common with my old friends. So
that is so true. I think that I had that realization growing up as well, where you hit that age where it's like, we're going to be best friends forever. And then you have a circle of friends like, ah. Yeah, maybe everyone's kind of grown apart here. Yeah. But that classic rock thing is crazy. You start thinking about how old your favorite albums are. Like, you think of, you know, even a Nirvana record or a Pearl Jam record. Records are probably over 30 years old now. So it is classic rock.
You know what's interesting about that, though, is I look at the music that they play at the School of Rock, and I look at the music that my son plays with his friends, like his friend Steven's over here the other day. They had their guitars out. It was so cool. And they were playing together. And he really likes AC/DC a lot. Loves AC/DC. Loves Metallica. Loves to play Led Zeppelin. And then he loves Dave Grohl. Like, loves.
Do you think that's because the instructors at School of Rock are exposing them to just cool guitar parts as you're learning guitar?
I think so, but then you're also able to take songs that you like, that you listen to, and like he gets a private lesson on Tuesday with his instructor, Taylor, and he's able to go in and just say, hey, here's a song I've been listening to. I'd like to learn to play it, and so that's a part of it. And so right now, he loves Dave Grohl, which has now introduced him to Nirvana. So he's telling me the other day about this guy named Kurt Cobain. He's telling me all about Kurt Cobain.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he's filling me in. He's filling me in on Dave Grohl. He's filling me in that Foo Fighters wasn't a real band. He's like, he was filling. And a lot of this, he's reading in a book that I already read and gave him, but he forgets that I read the book and I gave him the, in fact.
But I like that that's how his brain works. We talked about it with the comic books before. If he takes how he approached comic books, where he wanted to know every storyline and every character and every episode, and he applies that to guitar, then you're in for a fun journey, because it will go. I did the same thing when I was his age and went like all the way back to Robert Johnson. And then you kind of learn, you know, about blues, and you learn about blues rock, and then you learn about English rock, and then American rock, and like you sort of get into all the power punk and all this different stuff, and just find the things that you like. So if his brain is wired that way, where he likes to collect them all, so to speak, that'll be a cool journey, because he'll just go through all of them and find the ones that he connects with.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good point, Ron. They say the best thing that you can do is continue to be a clown for your kid. Be a clown and be a teacher and also be their student. So when they want to teach you something, even if you already know it, to just be surprised and let them teach you.
Kurt Cobain? Who's that? What was the moment for you that where you're like, oh man, this is the age thing made a difference or hit you in a weird way?
I've always been pretty aware of my age. I think when I had him, because I knew that I was an older dad. And so, but anytime I go to like an event and I see all the dads there, I'm probably at least a decade older than all them, but I think I could kick all their asses at one time. So, and they're not in very good shape and they all have a little pot belly. So that makes me feel pretty good about my own insecurities. But I know the day is coming when those dads will be able to kick my ass, but that hasn't happened yet. So that's what I visualize. As long as when I'm coaching my son's football game, when the dads comes out, when they come out of the stands, I can still take them on. So, but yeah, there's some, it is weird to go to an event sometime and see how young the dads are there and how old I am. So, a couple more here. Yeah. And what I was saying is, allowing them to teach you stuff and have the patience to listen and then be curious and ask them questions about what they're teaching you. It's pretty magical. Do you know what Riz is?
I mean, I've heard the term. I think I know what it means.
I think I know what it means. Someone brought up on BuzzFeed, I had to ask what the F is Riz. And I explain it to my son and he always laughs and he tells me I'm wrong. So I try to give him examples all the time of what I think Riz is. And I still don't have it, I guess, because he just laughs.
I think he's laughing at you trying to explain Riz more than whether or not you got it correct.
Hey, what about this? Having to scroll really far down for the birth year to show up on any online form.
That one gets me too. I do not like that one.
And then finally, my teenager niece loves to TikTok, sends me memes. I consider myself relatively young, but I still have no concept of the humor in any of them. Every time I have to ask her what a new slang word means, I die a little inside. And this should be the final one. I turned on the Grammy Awards this year. I had no idea who any of the performers were. Years ago, I knew all of them. I think I feel the same way on that. Like I'll pull up sometimes on my Apple Music some new music to listen to. I'm like, I'm gonna stop listening to all these these playlists that I listen to all the time and all these playlists. I've created hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of playlists myself over the years. And I'm like, I'm gonna listen to some new music.
Apple New Music. Let's do it.
Oh my God. I get like a song and a half in and I'm like, fuck this. Excuse me. Screw this. See you on the other side of this.
Hey, it's Ron and Don here with Mitch Weeks. You know him better as Mitch.Loans. Mitch, you have a really cool new product for investors. I think it's kind of the first I've ever heard of it.
Yeah, so we have a great new investor cash flow program. And what this is we take
the house you are buying, and we inspect it, not you, the borrower. And so what we do is we look at the house and we say, will it cash flow? If you put 20% down, will it make more money than it's going to cost you to keep paying off your mortgage? And if it does, it's yours. It doesn't matter what you make on your own. It doesn't matter all these other things that we usually have to document. They don't matter. They're gone. It's just, does this house make sense? And if it does, you can buy it.
All right. So you can go up to four doors, up to four units on this. And Don and I have never heard of a product like this. It's pretty exciting if you've been wanting to get into the investment game. So go to Mitch.loans right now. Set up a time to talk to Mitch. See if you qualify for this new program. That's Mitch.loans.
All right, you guys, welcome back to the Ron and Don Show. We just had some buyers. They closed here at the top of Queen Anne. Ron and I just ran over them, helped them unload the cars, figured out who some of the first subs are going to be going in to get things fixed, dropped off a gift and a card, congratulate them. And what's really interesting about this couple, they're very accomplished. She's a pilot. She's an attorney. And not only is she an attorney, she's an attorney out of state, another state. She functions as an attorney and is involved in trials and litigation that involve real estate. And what was kind of interesting is we had written a number of offers and we were in a situation where we had to escalate. And we had to really take some time because she looks at every word like an attorney would and should, right? Really had to take some time on some of the forms and especially understanding the escalation addendum and how that worked. And getting her to the point where she understood that, it doesn't mean that she's dumb. In fact, most people sometimes gloss over that. It's a smart thing to stop and to read every word and make sure you understand and comprehend something and understand what your rights are before you waive them or sign them or use them or whatever that is. And I continue to think as I'm on the buyer side, and I'm going to go when we get done with the podcast today, and I've been looking at homes for a couple that's been staying in one of my Airbnbs. I bet we've seen 25 homes. We're going to go see four more homes today. And for them, they're another part of the state from Yakima where buying real estate is very, very different than they're trying to buy a home right now in a place like maybe Ballard or Fremont or here in Seattle. So I think a lot about buyer's agents, the conversations that are happening right now with buyer's agents. And I think it's going to be very, very interesting. Because I think here in the city of Seattle, you're still going to need a buyer's agent that understands your neighborhood, that understands all the forms that change constantly all the time. It's like the tax code. The reason why you have a good CPA is because the tax code, Congress may decide today that there's going to be a rule that changes, but that rule may not change when it comes to tax code until 2029. And it's up to your CPA and your accountant to know that and understand that. We have the same thing in real estate where we're seeing different forms all the time. We're seeing the laws change and shifting all the time. And along with that, not only is there new legislation, like for instance, do you understand if you buy a property here in Seattle, people say you can put a backyard cottage on it, but can you? And in putting a backyard, let's say that you buy a property and you go to put a backyard cottage on it, and then you go down to the city of Seattle, which I've had friends do this, and the city of Seattle will say, no, you can't do that, or you can't subdivide that, or you can't put a detached accessory dwelling unit there, but you could put an ADU, an attached one. And here's the difference, or this is why. And here's the difference between if you take a property and you condominiumize the property versus if you subdivide that property. And if you buy a property and you were to put another unit on that property, then do you have to get a separate address for that property, or can you just make that a property B, right? And then along with that, now in the city of Seattle, they're concerned about the rain and the drainage. Used to be that people buy a property, you put a second building on, or you expand the property, and then you create more runoff because you don't have as much soil. And guess where the runoff goes? It goes in your neighbor's basement. You're not allowed to do that anymore. So when you buy a piece of property, you're responsible for all the filtration. Also, when you buy that property, where is the sewer? Where are the side sewers? where is the filtration going to happen? And are you going to send that gray water into the main line of the sewer? Are you allowed to do that? Or can you filtrate that somewhere on your... So I'm just beginning to ask questions that the city of Seattle is going to ask you, for instance. And you want to make sure that you have a real estate agent that understands all that before you end up buying a property. And then there's things that you want to do to it that you can't do because you didn't understand the lot coverage limitation in that particular neighborhood. Also, all the neighborhoods here are all zoned completely differently. And some of the zoning that was decided is going to happen in Ballard hasn't happened yet. It's not going to happen until next year. Some of the zoning down in Columbia City has already happened. And that's one of the reasons why when you go down there to buy a home that used to be 300 grand, that home is now $1.3 million because now you're competing with a builder that's going to tear that home down and put four row houses. So you want to make sure that you're not going into a neighborhood trying to buy something where the highest and best use of that property, no matter what it is to tear it down because of the zoning laws that have changed. And the zoning laws in every single neighborhood are completely different. I'll give you an example. I had a neighbor down this alley right here is keeping an eye on a builder. And the builder came in and completely took out his view. This neighbor had sent out a note all around the neighborhood trying to get the neighborhood on board with the fact that, hey, this builder is building and he's building all these condominiums and townhomes. And as a result of this, it's going to take out all our views and what are our air rights. So neighbors began signing on, but the builder began to move ahead with building. And then all of a sudden that project stopped. And that builder is not from here. The builder's from Canada. And this is the first project that he's ever done in Seattle. And guess what my neighbor did? When they finally built this thing, he went over there with a tape measure and found out that they had built those townhomes and they were fully built. I think there's 14 of them. They're 5 feet too high. And the neighbor who was so pissed off about his air rights because the builder didn't. And there's something that the builder could have done to gotten along with the neighbor to help the neighbor out to protect his air rights. So now he's in a fight with the neighbor. The neighbor takes him to court. And the project was stopped. And the project was stopped for over a year. In the meantime, the builder is now going bankrupt from this project, right? Because he can't sell and he can't complete. Somebody else has had to go in there now and take all the units, all 14 units, down 5 feet. They are into this project now for 3 years. And that's because whoever sold and help that builder acquire that land didn't understand the air rights that were happening in that particular part of Queen Anne on the Western Slope. And as a result of that, that builder ended up going bankrupt. My point is, if you have a buyer's agent is going to look out for those. A discount broker is not. And a discount broker, a lot of times, doesn't understand any of those things. So if you know as much about real estate as I do, you can probably use a discount broker. But if you know as much about real estate as an out-of-state attorney who just used me as their buyer's agent because they're like, hey, you know what? This stuff is a lot different than what we face in our home state. It has been very fortunate for us in this particular case to have a buyer's agent on our side. In a city like Seattle, it's very complex. You're still going to need a buyer's agent, and a good buyer's agent, Ron, I think is worth their weight in gold. If this is tract housing, though, in the middle of Indiana, and every house looks the same, every offering is the same, you can look on Zillow, and Zillow gives you a pretty good idea of what that house is worth because it's not diverse, and it's none of the things that I just mentioned, then yeah, you can probably pick up the phone, call a discount broker, and buy that $200,000 house in Barrington, Illinois.
Yeah, I agree with just about everything that you said. And I think is it theoretically possible that you could, write something down on a sheet of paper and pen, and that be a valid contract to buy a house? Sure, it's possible, but I think most sellers in a sophisticated market like this have expectations of like what your offer is going to look like. And you should, when you know the law and you know the different contingencies, you want to be able to use everything at your disposal. And if you don't know what those things are, you put yourself at a huge risk. I had a client one time that did not understand the financing addendum. And even though it was explained to him, he basically nodded his head and was like, yeah. And then we get into mutual on the deal, and he was committing fraud. He didn't perform the way he said he was going to perform on that contract, and he ended up losing a lot of money and lost the property and lost part of his earnest money because it was like, I don't need to know that. I already know this and I'm good to go. And they weren't good to go. So having a working understanding of what these terms mean, how the clauses work, and what's best for you and how competitive you need to be to actually take the house down that you want, I think is super invaluable. You're not paying for that one specific offer. You're paying for the real estate agent's cumulative experience in knowing how to work in this particular market.
You think about some of the biggest transactions in your life. When people are about to get married, what do? A lot of people that are smart go to counseling. And the reason they go to counseling is because they want the marriage to work and they want to get everything out on the table. And I'm not just talking our religious views, but I'm talking, how do we look at money? How do we view sex? How do we view family? What are our priorities going to be? Are we going to run a business together? Who's going to do the bookwork? Who's going to pay the taxes? Who's going to build all that stuff? And typically, that's one of the biggest commitments you're going to make in your life. And the second one is buying a piece of property, because most people in America do not save for retirement. If you look at the majority of baby boomers right now that are in the retirement years, they say that you need $1.47, so basically $1.5 million, in order to finish things out as a middle-class member in America. And do you know the majority of people have only saved somewhere between $64,000 and $150,000? That's all they have. So they're totally dependent on Social Security. And Social Security is never going to catch up with the $15, $14 sandwich meat, just for a little sandwich meat that I bought at the store last night. In fact, I'm going to talk about it in our next episode of the Ron and Don Show. Life is so expensive. And so that home becomes a piggy bank, whether you like it or not. And it is a very big, important transaction. You better make sure that you have somebody on the other side of the table that knows what they're doing. They know what they're talking about, whether you're buying, selling, and investing, because otherwise you can get yourself in real trouble. And you don't want to do that, because you need that piggy bank to be there for you 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now when it's time to retire, move, downsize, upsize, right size, whatever it is. Yeah. And you would never hire a free attorney. You don't want a free contractor, and you do not want a free real estate agent or a discounted one. Go get a discounted attorney or a discounted contractor and tell me how that works out. Yeah. So anyway, we'll go to work for you. But we are not discount brokers, but we'll give you everything that we have, buying, selling, investing. And I've never had a client tell me, wow, you guys aren't worth it. I wonder why you actually made a significant amount of money in this deal. So, hey, you guys, when you need us, just reach out. We can sit down. RonandDonSitDown.com. That's RonandDonSitDown.com. If you're buying, selling, investing, we can sit down today. All right. If you need our buyer's playbook or our seller's playbook, just reach out to us. And don't forget, it is a very competitive market out there right now, and it's only going to get more competitive now that the Fed has said that interest rates will probably come down starting sometime this summer. And three times this year, it means that more buyers are going to be in the market. We sell the sound. So if you need us, you're in Federal Way, you're in Edmonton, I'll sell Edmonton. Yeah, I'll sell Edmonton. Also, if you're somewhere on the east side, if you're over out on one of the islands in Bremerton, let's say, or Port Orchard, and of course, right here in Seattle, we are here to serve you. RonandDonSitDown.com. Till next time, you keep your head up and your shoulders back. You've been listening. of the Ron and Don Show, only on the Ron and Don Radio Network.
Now keep your head up and your shoulders back and keep blowing that trumpet, and we'll see you next time.
Only.
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 Only
on the Ron and Don Radio Network.